I think we left off in Exodus 23, verse number 30. And the Lord's telling them what He's going to do as they get into the land. And we see a moral principle here that I want to go over just a little bit. I think that might be a help to us. He said, I'll just back up to verse number 29 for some context. He said, I will not drive them out from before them 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. So they're going to go into this land, and he said, I'm going to drive them out a little bit at a time, because if not, you'll keep moving in, and then the land will get desolate, and then beasts will come up because nothing's inhabiting there. And look, that's like places like Chernobyl and things like that. You know, that place has been desolate for years and years, and they say wolves are just completely taking that place over. It's just a wild place because animals, you know, have taken it over. And that's what happens. I mean, you go to a place that's not inhabited and animals take it over. We get a picture out of this. These things are written for our learning. This is good, profitable scripture for us in this Old Testament to show us a principle. The Lord does things little by little. You remember over in Isaiah, He said, I'm going to show you things. He said, here a little, there a little. The Lord has to do things a little bit at a time, because what happened is, let's just say we gained a whole lot of ground all at one time. And man, we just super spiritual, you know, and everything. We think we've got it all figured out. You know what you'll do? You'll neglect prayer. And the two main things, neglect prayer and Bible reading. And before long, some beasts, so to speak, start to come in into your life and start taking over that territory that we're not looking over. God has to do things little by little in our life. And so I want to give you a principle here. And you can take your Bible, hold there, and turn to Genesis 33. And what we have is we've got Jacob coming back, and he meets Esau, and you know, Jacob's a character. Now he sends his family's in a little bit here, a little bit there to meet Esau. He's kind of scared of Esau, and come to find out the Lord's dealt with Esau's heart, and He's not going to kill him. But there's a principle here as he meets him. They get to talking, and I want to show you something here in verse number 9. It said, and Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. So Jacob's trying to give him some things, and Esau said, I have enough. Now watch this right here. Verse 11, take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. Esau said, I have enough. Jacob said, I have enough. You know what? That's amazing. These two men, yeah, they took different paths and things like that, but both of them have enough now. Mm-hmm. You know what? You learn in life to be satisfied.
Right.
And in life, you know what I've learned? Look, I've got enough. Now, don't get me wrong. If the Lord wants to bless me more, that's fine.
Yeah.
But Paul said, I've learned how to both how to abound and how to be abased.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to learn how to be content in each state we're in, whether we're abounding or whether we're abased. I've got enough. Well, I just think that's interesting. And then he gives a principle here. He says in verse 12, and he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. Now here's the principle. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Now what happens is, we oftentimes, in our eagerness to appear that we're not stagnant or dead, here we go, we drive people to produce fruit that they're not ready to produce. You know, one of my teachers in school had told me that, and I wrote that in the margin of my Bible. But there's a good principle here. We don't need to overdrive things in life. You need to do things little by little. Oftentimes people do that to their children, our church members and stuff like that. We try to overdrive them. You need to get to this place. You need to get to this. You overdrive them, and then we made a mess. That's like a fruit tree. We've got a plum tree. How old is that plum tree now?
I think it was
It's about three years this year. Well, it's getting big. I think it had a few plums this year, just a few on it. But the birds got them right quick. But it's getting big. I mean, the tree is getting large. But you can't, even though that thing is a plum tree, and I'm looking forward to that thing producing plums. Those plums, the original tree we got them from, those plums are delicious. But I can't make that tree produce any faster than the ground it's in and the circumstances, the amount of sunshine and the amount of water it's getting. It's going to produce when it's ready to produce based on the water given to it, the soil it's in, and all the circumstances around it. We've got to remember that in our life and in the lives of others around us, because if not, we'll overdrive people, we'll make a mess, and you end up hurting folks. He said little by little, because you know what we find out? You know what's going on with a lot of people right now? If they don't take this principle, they're going to get frustrated in life. Other people are not at the same place we are.
Right.
And I oftentimes will say, why aren't they there mentally? Well, it's going to take a little bit of time here. It's going to take a little bit of precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. And look, they've got to get in the same thing we've got into. And look, I've got a lot to learn. I've a lot to learn myself. And there's a lot of men out there who are way leaps and bounds above me, but I can't expect to be where they're at in even a month, when it took them years to get to where that Bible knowledge at, years of praying, years of going through life experiences and things like that. So here we are, we're in a generation right now who most of them have grown up without God. Most of them have grown up, being taught communistic ideas, being taught socialistic ideas, being taught all the awful things that they're taught through this world system and this world current that they're in. Well, man, if they get saved, don't think their ideas are just going, man, they're going to even agree with us. They've got to get that stuff out of there. Well, they're going to be fighting the flesh. And they got that little old tree in there, they're born again, new man, all this stuff. But that flesh has got to be getting peeled away, and it's going to take time. And if we overdrive them, you can frustrate them. That's why a lot of people, they get so frustrated, they'll get around somebody and they say, all right, now first thing, you need to know King James Bible. You need to write the divide. You got to do all this stuff. And man, we believe that stuff. I believe that. But you can't make them people believe that stuff right off the bat. It takes time, man. It takes time. And it takes time with us, and it's going to take time with our children. It's going to take time with these other people. That's like one thing that's going to have to happen. If anything's ever going to get any better, you're going to have to start with the children. These families are going to have to start with those children, and have to raise up a whole generation of children that know the Lord, love the Lord, going to do anything. And you know what? Just truth, you know why the Bible says evil men seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving being deceived? Well, that tells me. He told Timothy, he said, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That lets me know one reason why, because they're not being raised up from a child. These children, man, some of these children, they grow up, they can tell you statistics, they can tell you all kind of facts about, you name it. Some of them just, some of the things they're able to do mentally, you would think, wow, that kid's smart. Ask them about the Bible, say, well, who tore down the walls of Jericho? I don't know who it is. We'll find out who it is and we'll report them. type of deal. They don't know. Come here from Sikkim. So it's going to take time. Learning the Bible takes time. We can't overdrive ourselves. Because we'll do that sometimes. We'll think, man, why don't I know that? It takes little by little. This is a really good principle. I want to show you something else about this little by little here. Look in your Bible at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I believe this will apply to everyday life. Verse number 22. You know what? Little by little, that tells me I need to take things one day at a time.
Yeah.
I'm not in the future. I'm not at January 20th yet.
Yeah.
I'm not at what was the other date the guy was saying on one of them things? I'm not at July, some of these dates over here in July, if this don't and that don't happen and this happened. Look, man, little by little.
Yes.
Take it day by day. Why? Because I'm serving an almighty God. And I'm serving Him. I'm on eternity standard time. And I'm already seated in the heavenlies with Him. And I, look, my body is just stuck down here, but my spirit, my soul is connected to Him. And, I'm just going by daily. Literally just enjoying my trip to heaven. And Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verse number 22, he says, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once. Why? Lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee, but the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. All right, now, who's going to do it? The Lord is. You know who's going to take care of us? The Lord is. As the Lord does things little by little, I'm just trusting Him each and every day. Because look, often we know if the Lord were to, all right, boom, you, for 6 months, I'm going to guarantee you for 6 months, you're going to have smooth sailing, everything's going to be one. You know what our temptation will be? Well, I'll take it easy for a little while.
Yeah.
But if God says, okay, you're going to need me every step of the way, every breath you take, every step that you take, you're going to need me. That calls us to walk by faith. You know what's going on a lot now that a lot of Christians don't like? A lot of Christians don't like to walk by faith. They like to literally be able to see way on down the line. And brother, he does things little by little. Why? Because he said, if I don't do it like that, and if you don't operate like that, right, the beast will take over. You know what? We've got a beast that tries to take over our life. We've got inner man that's saved, and you've got a flesh body that wants to behave like an animal.
Yeah.
And that's why he said, I got to do things little by little, because if not, you'll get into some major trouble. Here's another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. These are some good verses right here, I believe, to help us with our daily walk with the Lord. Verse number 17, for some context. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. So I know I've got the Lord on the inside of me because I got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. It says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Man, I like that right there. Liberty over anything is all I got to do to find out where the Lord is not. Okay, so where's liberty at?
Yeah.
Brother, that you can't beat that verse right there. I thank God that I have the liberty to serve the Lord Jesus. I'm not in bondage. I don't have to do any. I don't have to teach this message right now. I get to do it because of the liberty I have in the Lord. I've got liberty to serve. I thank God for that. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, a little bit by little, from glory to glory. You know how He's going to work on you? Just a little bit here, and a little bit there, and a little bit one day, and a little bit the next day, by little and by little. Now, I said all that, and I had a devotion that I wanted to give you that I had this morning, and I'll read. It just won't take me about 5 minutes to read this, but this was Mr. William Booth. He wrote this a long time ago, and I thought this was a pretty good thing. He talks about these little things in this verse. He said, great things are made up of little things. He said, the highest mountain is made of grains of dust. All right, that's a pretty good thing to remember right there. Made up a little thing. He said the Atlantic is made up of drops of water. 1 year is 31,536,000 seconds. He said the deepest snowfall came down one flake at a time. That's pretty good. You know what? We overlook the little things. We often, it's the little things in life that we overlook, and the great things come from the little things. You think about the whole ocean started just drop. All right, you think about these great big old snowfalls that happen one flake at a time. All right, in our life, we think, well, what am I going to do this day? Grow a little bit closer to the Lord than what you were yesterday. Just a little bit closer. I worked for Lowe's one time and talking about how little things can accumulate. Man, me and this guy named Blake down there, man, that guy was strong. He had arms on him like that, man. And so a lot of times we'd be loading a truck or something like that, and we had a buddy we was loading up a truck one time, and me and Blake would see how many of these boards we could hold. I got to where, man, I could hold 4 or 5 of them boards, no trouble. You put 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and before long you're holding those boards, and you got your hands down here close like this right here, and you're like, all right, that's it. That's all I can hold. Well, see, 1, 2, or 3 things is fine, but before long you keep adding to that, and that weight gets really heavy. So it'll work on a bad thing or a good thing. If you add a little bit of good, a little bit of honesty, a little bit of sincerity, a little bit of just, a little bit each day, it'll finally, and it'll pile up, and before long, you're way closer to the Lord than you were a year ago. Some people say, well, I don't know where to start. Let's start today. In a week from now, you'll be so much closer than you were today. You just have to start it. Great things come from a little thing. He says this, great things depend on little things. He says a falling apple, he says, from a tree insignificant enough, yet led to discovery of the law of gravitation. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know much about, all those laws and science and stuff. I've been studying it some. But I think about this right here. Great things do depend on little things. You know what? It's amazing how in my life, I know just in my life, how great as far as my encouragement in the Lord and my walk with the Lord in a lot of ways depends on a lot of other people.
Right.
Just doing some kind of little thing of encouragement. You know one thing that encourages me? To see someone else get saved and keep serving God.
Yeah.
Say, well, when did you get saved? Well, so-and-so got saved 5 years ago. Man, they're still serving the Lord, still reading their Bible. Man, look at them now.
Yeah.
Man, that's encouraging to me. That's great things do depend on just little things like that right there. And a lot of people think, well, that's just insignificant. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
It's a great thing just to be able to see other Christians. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think, well, that's nothing but a little thing. Well, that's a little thing. It's a great thing. All right, here's another thing about little thing. He said, but little by little over in that verse, great things spring from little ones. Spring from little ones. See, a lot of times we forget, okay, what good would just doing that one little thing do? All right, he gives a couple instances. An oak was once an acorn. He says, the greatest hero was once an infant. He said, explosion in a coal pit which destroyed life and property was caused by a spark from a little match. He says, a tract sent by a child to India fell in hands of a chief who was brought to Christ through reading it. Missionary was sent out and hundreds saved. Just a little bitty thing. See, I think in life, we do oftentimes forget that in your life is made more up of little bitty things you did here, there, and the other place than it is this great big instance.
That's right.
I think it's so, man, I never do anything great in life. Let a whole bunch of little things pile up and it'll be something great. That's what it takes. He said, great works are accomplished by little and little. He said, pyramids raised one stone at a time. I mean, you don't think. He said, the greatest paintings done stroke by stroke. Now, you think about some of the most greatest work of art you've ever seen. That painter had to do that one stroke at a time. Now, I'm not saying I'm a fan of Michelangelo or anything like that, but you look at some of that art that he painted. I could never paint anything like that. You know what he did? One stroke at a time. You know what it's going to take us? If we're going to make a difference for the Lord here, it's going to take one day at a time, 1 second at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, just serving the Lord. A little here and a little there. Hey, man, we may have to work a little bit, a hard day, just to be able to make enough money, just to be able to pay a bill, just so you can witness to one person, maybe that once that week. But guess what? That little thing right there can lead to a great thing. Well, this life right here, I had a friend of mine, he sent a message today, and it was a really good reminder that life is just a vapor. It really is. I mean, you're here today, gone tomorrow, you better do some little things here than you know why the great things aren't going to come up that much. That's why you need to do a whole bunch of little things. Another thing too, he said character is formed by little and little. He said good characters are built up of little acts of kindness, industry, generosity, obedience, and integrity. He says one mean or dishonest act may destroy a reputation which has taken years to acquire. Now, you know what? That's why little things can go for the good way or the bad way. The good way or the bad way. I'm amazed how people, you can help somebody and help somebody and help somebody, and they'll remember the one bad thing you did. Well, that's just the flesh. That's just the flesh. So what do we do? So I ain't going to do anything because all they remember is just the bad. No, we're going to keep doing the little things daily. Because you know what? It matters more what God remembers than what man remembers. That's what ultimately goes. Here's another guy, H.J. Wilmot, Buxton. I like to give these guys, I know a lot of guys, they may switch the illustration around and use it, but I like to give these guys credit right here. I thank God that some godly men, I may not agree with them all doctrine and everything, I thank God that some godly men took time to write some of that stuff down so we can study some of that and borrow from other men's mind. I believe in that. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I listen to other preachers and stuff like that, and like I said, there's a lot of guys I don't agree, but a lot of them have got some really good stuff, and as long as they believe the book, they believe in the power of God, and look, there's a lot of right dividers out there that have got some really good stuff out there, and some of these men here, I thank God for them. He said the victories which we have gained over ourselves will be remembered when the triumphs of Caesar and Hannibal are uncared for. He says this: he conquered himself is a better epitaph than he conquered the world. That's what we're looking for. You know what we need to do? You know, Paul said, I die daily. Daily. You know what we need to do? Self. Daily, die to self and win a battle here and win a battle there and win a battle here and win a battle there. And that's what we're looking for. Now, we'll get back to Exodus, but I tell you what, man, that was an encouragement to me. I said, Lord, help me operate. You know what I want to do? I want to operate like the Lord operates. I may have told this joke two or three times, but I like it. An old preacher once said a lady came to the pastor to get some help about marriage, and you know, and she's wanting to be married and everything. She said, well, "What do you suggest?" He said, "Well, God said it's one man for one woman, one woman for one man. That's God's plan. You can't improve on it. Can't take away from it. Can't add to it." She said, "Look, I don't want to take away from it, add to it, or get away from it, or anything else. I just want to get in on it." Well, you know what? That's what I wanted. I want to find out what God wants and get in on. How does God work? And you know what God does? Little by little.
Yeah.
Here, little, and there. That's how it works. And I thank God we know that, and that's a good principle. In verse number 31, he said, "And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out from before thee." You know who set the bounds? God did. You know who's in control of that situation? God was. Yes, they were fighting. Yes, they were. David said, "He teacheth my hands the war." But you know what? Ultimately speaking, it's God who's doing the moving. God who's setting the boundaries. You know what? If any boundaries are set in this nation or anything else, you know whose desk it's got to come across? God's. That gives me peace. When I'm going about my daily business, I know this right here. God said He set the boundaries out, and He said, "I want you to drive them out." But He said, "I'm setting the boundaries, and I'm going to be the one who gives you the victory." You know, if we get anything done in our personal lives, it's going to be God who has to get the victory. Anything we will yield to Him, we can do something, we can gain some more land. But I'm going to tell you this, we won't gain no more victory in our life and in our walk with the Lord until God gives us the victory. You know what? That Bible teaches us over in Timothy that unless people acknowledge the truth, they won't get the repentance. Mm-hmm. You know what? You're not going to gain that ground until it's time. A lot of people wonder why they hadn't got over this, why they hadn't got over that and the other thing, and I know I've done the same thing. You know what? There's a place in my life, as I've analyzed it, and other people did the same thing. There's a place in your life where there's a truth that you are not acknowledging. You may know it's there and everything else, but until they acknowledge the truth, the Bible said God won't grant them that repentance. And that's just how that thing works. And you know, like with them, He said, look, I'll be the one that sets the bounds. But also, there's some stipulations. He said, verse number 32, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. That's pretty important right there, I believe. Now, I want to show you something here. If you will, take your Bible there and turn over to Isaiah chapter 28. Get Isaiah 28. And then... in one hand, and then put Matthew chapter 26 in your pinky toe, and we'll look at something about this covenant here. Now, when the Lord came the first time, the kingdom was being preached, and he was saying the kingdom was at hand, and that's the literal physical Davidic earthly kingdom was literally within reach. And then, of course, we know they turned it down, and in early Acts, they get an offer of the kingdom there, and they stone Stephen full of the Holy Ghost and all that stuff, blasphemy. We understand that in church age. But everything was set up. God had it set up, even though He knew that they were going to reject Him. He still had it set up for them. To, if they had received it, God, the church age was unknown. God was able to bring that thing in, and God was able to finish out Daniel's 70th week, and God was able to set up His kingdom, and the Gentiles could have come in the millennium. That's how the thing. Why? Because it was a bona fide offer. They're not going to have an excuse. Yes. So when they get up here, you got a man named Judas Iscariot. And you know what Judas does? All this stuff, you know, the first 3.5 years of the Lord here, all this stuff is taking place. You got John the Baptist. The Bible said he could have been Elijah. God had all that stuff set up. Here's something interesting. He said in that verse in the law, they should not make a covenant. This is how much this thing was set up right here. When he came, in Matthew chapter number 26, Judas. Now let me tell you something about Judas. In verse number 14, it said, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest. Judas, he's got 13 letters in his name. I could go on. He's called the son of perdition. Guess who the Antichrist is called? The son of perdition. He fits the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be able to do signs, wonders, and miracles and everything else. Judas Iscariot was able to do that. He's a false Christ.
Yeah.
All right. Watch what Judas does with the leaders. The leaders. Said, and he said unto them, what will you give me? I tell you, that's a bad attitude to have right there. There's an attitude. What will you give me? You know what? You know what the Lord says? It's more blessed to give than receive.
Yeah.
And I will deliver him unto you, and they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. You know what the law said? Here are the leaders. Here are the people that's supposed to know the law, the Word of God. You know what they did in verse number 3? Assembled. Better watch out for the assemblies. You know what you better watch out? Assemblies of elders. They're assembling, verse number 4, trying to take Jesus by subtlety. You know what the devil does? He won't just come out right. He tricks you.
Mm-hmm.
Better watch out for that subtlety. All right, and it says, guess what? But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Worrying more about what the people say. That's in the context of making a covenant. Now, I said all that to say this right here. Here's the setup. And that thing's going to come back one of these days. Because you know what? One of these days, the church is going to be out of here. You know what I don't have to worry about? People are so concerned about so much of the stuff that's going on. I thank God. I hadn't got to Isaiah 28 yet, but I thank God I've got a Bible. And you know what people better be concerned about? Now, all this stuff, why was this in the Bible? Was this other thing in the Bible? It's always been something they've wondered about. You know what the Christian's supposed to do? Keep his eyes on Jesus, because look, ultimately speaking, they're living in a generation. We think our generation, but this generation right here killed the Lord.
Yes.
Here's Jesus. People walk around with Jesus, and the leaders of the day killed the Lord. That's a pretty bad time.
Yeah.
And they make a covenant with death and hell. Why? He said, I'll kill him. I'll deliver him to you. Death and hell. Alright. Well, hell's going to follow along behind death. Alright. So they make a covenant with him, and the law says don't do it. They're going against even the Bible. And all that stuff. So you know what? They have to be concerned about a time when there's a man standing up and he's going to be over in Jerusalem and he's going to be saying, I'm God.
Yeah.
Now look, that's something I don't have to worry about. Until then, he's talking about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and stuff. That stuff been going on for years and years. He said, I tell you something, when you're going to see something you've never seen before, there's going to be a man stand up and he's going to say he's God, and he's going to have signs and wonders and miracles, and he's going to have a strong delusion so strong that people are going to literally think he's the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strong delusion right there.
Yeah.
And you know what that Bible had warned them? This is why I love having the Bible. Why the Bible will warn you, so you everybody who is still going to have access to the Bible, the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away. The Word of God will never pass away. They're not going to have an excuse. We don't have an excuse today in the church age for not looking unto Jesus, because over and over and over Paul says, look unto Jesus. Don't look unto circumstances and everything else going around. Why? Your circumstances change for the good or for the bad. Jesus Christ doesn't change. When you look at something that's unchanging, well, hey, I can abound or be abased. I'm fine. I'm not going to have to worry about all this stuff right here. He said, don't make a covenant with them. They've been warned. He said in Isaiah 28, verse number 15, it says, because ye have said... Now let me back up and give you some context here. This is not us. I don't have to worry about this covenant. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule. See, it's your ruler. I'm telling you, man, rulers, they've always been, well, we got wicked, wicked rulers. They were wicked rulers then. This people, which is in Jerusalem. You know, people wonder about prophecy and stuff like that, and they're looking at America and these Americans. The time clock of prophecy is Jerusalem in Israel.
Yeah.
That's where prophecy is focused on. That's where God's focus is. That's the apple of God's eye. That's where God's prophecy is focused, not on America. They think, man, if something happens to America, man, the world, look here. God is focused on Jerusalem. God's focused on Israel.
Yeah.
God, the nations are dropping. This nation could fall and nothing come up. That's fine. They're just a drop in the bucket and less than nothing. God is focused on Jerusalem and Israel. That's His business. And what happens in between here to all these other countries, they're just a drop in the bucket. You know, I never mind change my mind. It's just less than nothing. Whatever's around, back then, they better be on the side of Israel. You know what He says? He said, because He has said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? With the overflowing scourge shall pass through, or when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Man, I tell you what, that's a bad thing. You imagine going through a time period so bad that there's a shadow of death coming over, and if that shadow comes over you, you're going to die, man. Some kind of fallout cloud come over there, and man, they got to run from it and everything else. There's an overflowing scourge come through there. That's going to be an awful time. But guess what? That's not something I got to be concerned about. You know what? When I got in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a part of any better covenant you ever heard of in your entire life. I'm literally a joint heir.
Yeah.
Hey. With Jesus Christ. Brother, you're not going to beat that.
No.
So here they are. He's telling them, hey, don't make any covenant. He warned them a long time ago. And I tell you something, they got it in the law. And they were warned way back then, not with their gods. Well, there's going to be a time when there's a man stand up and he's going to be saying he's God. He's going to be the idol shepherd. Put that idol up there. And anybody who's been reading the law and reading the Bible and reading their mail, they're going to know, hey, we don't need to do that. That's a false god right there. If I've ever seen one at all these idols and God warned about these idols, I'm not going to all these images and stuff. I'm not worshiping that man. I'm staying away from it. I'm not being a part of that covenant. And guess what? They do. They have something to do with that covenant right there. They're not going to be a part of the covenant the Lord Jesus Christ wants to make with Israel. Hebrews 8 talks about it, things like that. So that's what they've gotten on. This is prophetical material as well. And man, that thing was set up at that first coming. And of course, he was rejected, and it all didn't happen. We're in the church age, which it didn't take God by surprise. But at the same time, that thing is going to come back after the rapture, and he's going to go back to dealing with Israel, and they're going to pick right back up where they left off, and they'll finish out Daniel's 70th week. And the church is no part of it. And I thank God, man, when I read that, I thank God for it. I can't help it. I know some people say, well, you just keep saying, I'm just so thankful I don't have to go through that mess. Lord, have mercy. Have me delivered and removed, and I will be. We'll go for a few more verses here. Look at verse number 33. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. Now hold on, that's a strange thing. That's God right there. He said, they'll make thee sin against me. People say, well, he made me do it. Well, in a sense, guess what? The Bible said evil communications corrupt.
That's right.
Good manners. In a sense, that is right. Why, you know what? A companion of wise will grow wise, and a companion of fools will be destroyed.
Yeah.
He's warning them, look here, you'll get in there with them, and before long, instead of getting a little bit by little bit closer to me, you'll get a little bit by little bit closer to them. And before long, this is what happens. This is why you have to be careful about who you are around and who. Before long, man, they're a pretty good fella. I kind of like that guy. I know they got some bad language, and I know they smoke a little dope, you know, and I know they, but just a little. And see, and what happens is, it's just a little, they're really not a bad man, they're nice to me. And before long, man, people get in there with them. And man, before long, people say, well, he just made some bad choices. Well, friend, I've heard it over and over and over. Got some bad influences. Well, you know, the Lord says, watch out who you influence around. Just stay away from them.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of nice folks. I really do. They nice to me. But nice, that word ain't even in the Bible, man. Do they love the Lord is the question. Well, there's a lot of folks I might, you know, hey, been passive. Hey, how'd it do? But I'm not fixing to go to their house and sit around with them. I'm not fishing to take my time out and just, unless we're trying to witness or something like that, it's a working relationship, but I'm fishing to get in there and get out of the way. But you're in the world, not of the world. There's a different deal.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, when you go in there, take care of business, but he says, they'll make this sin against me. The whole thing is it going to make us sin against God? It don't matter. No relationship to me is worth my relationship with the Lord. If that relationship is going to damage my relationship with the Lord, the Lord's supposed to get the preeminence in all things. God is more important than that relationship.
Yeah.
And I don't care who it's with. I honestly do not care who it's with. I owe it to my Lord because I want to serve Him, and also from my family too.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a bad man for my family, my church family. Well, I'm the preacher of this church here. Well, look, you get in league with some of these other, and before long, well, here's Brother Chase hanging out over there. And man, I know what all they do over you. Before long, man, you destroy, you can't even hardly witness to other people because look what all you put up with. And see, here's Israel supposed to be a peculiar people are supposed to be a nation of priests. Well, how are they going to lead people to the Lord and say, man, look at our Lord, what all He's done there? Like, man, you do the same things we do. You down here, I seen down at the Temple of Baal the other day. I mean, see, that's what I'm saying. That's why He's warning them. He said, for thou, if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. And I tell you what, they find out later on, don't they? It gets so much so that it's still not over with yet. And they still, because they served other gods and things like that, they still got trouble for it. And man, they're going to have to finish out the tribulation because of it. You'll read in there, before long, man, they got in there with these gods and everything. And it just destroys everything. And but what I love about the Lord is it's written right here in this contract. And it's written in the book. Then go back and God warned us. You know what? We examine our heart and our life and we can go back and say, God, if nothing else, you warned me.
Right.
You said this and you said that. And I go through and I tell you one chapter, man. I know I've said this stuff. I know I repeat myself a lot, but I guess you learn by repetition. I have to learn. I go through here and I have to read Romans 12 every day. But I want to read just a few verses in Romans 12 just to show you how God warns you. This whole thing, but he says this in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another.
Yeah.
Man, Lord, man, help me, Lord, preferring one another. He says, see if now, you think we don't have as Christians some tough stuff on us. He says, not slothful in business. You know what? I believe if somebody has their own business or somebody's in business, I believe they ought to be the hardest worker they can be for the Lord. Now, I'm not working for that customer. It's like I got a job to do tomorrow. You know what? I'm not working for that. I'm working for the Lord. I'm not supposed to be slothful in business. That is a command. Well, the Lord sends a Christian up there to do a job, and that guy, yeah, well, I might get it done. Man, well, hold on just a minute now. I'm just obeying the Bible. You're supposed to run that thing in a godly manner. It says, fervent in spirit. Well, I tell you what, some of these people serve the Lord just like, well, you know, no big deal. You know, well, if I want to, you know, I might pray. That's not fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit has to do with you enjoy doing something, man. You ever see some people, they can do something. You can tell them to do something, they're like, yeah. And go out there and have to. And man, something when it's something they want to do, man, they skipping and jumping. Man, that's how a Christian's supposed to serve. Why? We serve the Lord because it's exciting. It ought to be a fervency about it. Our urgency about it. Man, this is wonderful. I'm serving the God of the universe.
Yeah.
Man, here's I'm just saying. Serving the Lord. Fervent spirit. Not slopping business. Fervent spirit. Serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know what my business is? My mail says, what are you going to do tomorrow, Brother Chase? Serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about so-and-so? Oh, I'm just supposed to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on, you know what I'm supposed to do? Serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoicing in hope. Why? Because I know one of these days the Lord's going to come. Joy is in rejoicing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking joy in the fact that my hope's in Jesus Christ, not in how things go in my country. My hope's in Him.
Right.
Everything, the whole world's sinking its own sinking sand. My house is built on a rock. Man, I don't have to worry. Look, patient and tribulation. Goodness. You think that man right there, if we could lose our salvation right now, half of the believers would lose their salvation just on that right there. Patient and tribulation. It's terrible. It's this thing. And man, people just throwing friendships out the window.
Yeah.
Throwing family members and everything else. Just, I'm not going. Bible says patient and tribulation. Why? Because, man, people right now, without the Bible, anybody not going by the Bible is utterly confused right now. Why? That's what the devil does. That's just what the devil does. And I'm just showing you how the Lord, I'm tying this in because He warned them. I'm making the bridge over here to us. These things right here, this helps me. He said, continue an instant in prayer. These are directions that has to do with not being conformed to this world. Just like God gave them some directions on a little bit here, a little bit there. As you go in your daily battle, y'all about to go get in the battle. Y'all about to go take over some land. Guess what we're doing? We're doing in the daily battle, fighting a good fight of faith. You know what, Paul, how to do it? As we go in our daily life, not being conformed to this world, you know what the mail is right here? These verses are teaching us how to not be conformed to the world. The world is not patient in tribulation. The world is not continuing instant in prayer. Where you're supposed to be, look, a lot of my prayers are instant. Somebody will text me, and I'm telling you something, I start praying for them right. I may be eating food, man. I just stop what I'm doing. And Lord, help them right now. I know they got this for their sick, Lord, right now. And I may not have time to be able to take a 10, 15 minute prayer, but I'll shoot an instant prayer up.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back later on and maybe put another coating on that thing.
Yeah.
He says this right here. Distributing the necessity of the saints, giving the hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Good, not a lie. Lord, are you serious? Lord, is that? Yeah, he says, yes, sir. Now, man, do you think we honestly are, I mean, we can say we're Bible believers all day long, but I'm telling you, so that chapter right there is hard on any Bible believer, especially in the day. And Paul had it worse than what we do. And he don't have near the luxuries we do. And he, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, here this thing is. Watch this right here. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And he said, be of the same mind one toward the other. Mind not high things, but condescend to men the low estate. Be not wise in thine own conceit. Uh-oh. Recompense to no man evil for evil.
Yeah.
Man. Well, we need to just pray and go home. My. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Lord, what do I do? Well, I'll tell you what. The balance is this. He said, recompense to no man evil for evil. How do you balance that? Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as life, then you live peacefully with all men. You know what our direction is? No matter how bad it gets, no matter how much tribulation it gets or whatever, if it's possible. If it's possible, little people. You know what my directions are under God, as we take our little bit here and a little bit there daily, walk with the Lord in our daily battle. If it's possible, I'm supposed to try and yield to the Holy Spirit and live peacefully as long as I can live peacefully. That's what we're supposed to do. And man, I tell you something, that right there help us not be conformed to this world, because this world is not trying to live peacefully. This world is trying to divide. And this world, the devil's whole thing is to divide and conquer. You know how you can tell carnality? Paul said to that carnal church over in Corinth, he said, there's envy and strife and divisions among you. He said, are you not yet carnal? You see envy and strife and division, guess what you find? A bunch of carnality. You say, what is a bunch of just carnality? Flesh. That's just flesh. You know what the Spirit does? The Spirit is contrary to the flesh. That's why my flesh wants to do one thing and the Spirit wants to do another.
That's right.
And when I read that Bible, I know my flesh is saying, but Lord, and well, goat's butt. What did my Bible say? What did the Bible say? And I tell you, I know it's tough. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, He gave them, He said, I'll fight for you. You know what? If we'll just let go and let God, as the old saying was, and let God work in and through, He'll give us power to be able to do them. But on our own, we can't do it. Thank God we got the precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.